We are indeed thankful and grateful to our great God and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, for another opportunity to stand and participate with him in this great work of redemption. To our president, Dr. Max A. Miller, to our general chairman and our institute chairman, and then to our presider today. We're just glad to be here.
Amen.
Glad to be here. Certainly pray for my teammate. I didn't mention that, but you all know that he's not in having his best days these days, and that is none other than Dr. William Jr. Amen.
All right.
I want to continue talking about this window of illustration. I laid my anchor in Genesis chapter 6, verse 16, just a portion of it, where Noah is told to make a window thou shalt, and a window thou shalt make to the ark. A window. That window is for light. It is an illustration in and of itself that we're using to talk about sermon illustrations.
All right.
Amen. That we need illustrations. Illustrations help us. Help us to communicate what we're trying to get over. Amen. It's somewhat of a tell you the truth, it's somewhat of a shortcut after so many words have been, an economy of words have been dealt out in terms of explanation. And you've tried to logically make your case. It seems like there's nothing like a well-placed, well-thought-out illustration. Our Lord is the master illustrator. No one could illustrate a point like Jesus. And Reverend Severin, I imagine it's because he made everything. He made everything. So he knows the innate function, exactly how things work, how they should work when they're out of order, and how to point us back to proper function. He's the master illustrator. You remember in John chapter 1, where John points out that Jesus says, points out Jesus as the light of men. That illustration, he shines in darkness. Men are not able to comprehend him. The idea is that the wicked heart cannot receive Christ. Or in chapter 2 of John, where the disciples reference Psalm 69:9, I believe it is, and they say that when Jesus has turned over tables in the temple, and they remember the Bible says, this particular psalm, and where it says that zeal has eating me up. What an illustration. That'll make for a good sermon today, where people not too concerned about the house of the Lord today, or Nicodemus. Oh, that classic illustration. You must be. You must be born again. In other words, regeneration is necessary for you to, number one, see the kingdom. And secondly, to enter the kingdom. Or the next chapter, chapter 4. Chapter 3 again, where he says that the wind blows wherever it want to blow. Nobody knows where it's coming from. Nobody knows where it's going. Points out God's sovereignty in redemption, sovereignty in regeneration. Chapter 4, where he talks to this woman. He stopped by Samaria the other day. Talked to this woman and told her about making her into a well of springing water. In other words, that when I save you, it's an evangelistic overflow that I put inside of you. Nobody has to pull the word of God out of you. You don't have to drop a bucket and drag it up. Oh no, it's like a fountain. Springing water. The intent, I told you on last week, the intent of metaphorical language, this figurative language or these illustrations is to turn the steep intellectual climb into a sliding board of simplicity. It allows for us to, in some sense, in trying to understand, to back into comprehension. To back in the comprehension. Hey, you made your case. Economy of words. And then you give that well-placed illustration. I left off saying that illustrations are everywhere. They're everywhere. And I talked about how my child was dressed for his blessing service. And my little toddler at the time was found in all of his white playing in the toilet. And you know, children, yeah, that's how we are as Christians. You got the illustration. Holy Spirit, dress us, and we in the toilet. Amen. Playing. Amen. Now, but children are one of the best places to get illustrations from. One day, they had a Sunday school lesson, and my child is a little older then. I think he's around about 7 or 8, and they had a Sunday school lesson on how people would stone children according to the law when they were disobedient. And so I asked him. I knew that was a lesson. I wanted to hear what he had to say. So I asked him, I said, what was the lesson about? And he said, well, it was about a little fellas that wouldn't act right. They wouldn't do right for their parents. They wouldn't obey their parents. And I said, what happened to him? Say, everybody threw rocks at him. Illustrations. Everywhere. And so anyway, my thesis here on your notes there. An illustration should not add confusion,
Amen.
Complication, or vagueness,
Amen.
But bring clarity,
Amen.
Make connection,
Yes.
and remove complexity,
Amen.
Resulted in an aha moment.
Amen.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Through the window.
Yes.
I see exactly.
Yeah.
What you mean.
Yeah.
That is the purpose of an illustration.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes preachers get up and instead of trying to bring clarity, they're busy trying to impress. And can I tell you this morning that the worst illustration in the world is the one that you have to explain after you rendered it. The illustration itself is meant to explain. It's meant to bring clarity. And so, beloved, Don't you ought not use complicated illustrations, difficult illustrations, things that they don't understand. I'll talk more about that probably next week. A good illustration, here's what it does. Here's what the point is. It makes the abstract concrete. That which seems somewhat theoretical and again, abstract and in the clouds, it allows for it to be laid on the ground.
Yeah.
on the ground. An illustration is like fine-tuning a pair of binoculars. It brings the blurry into focus. It makes for a vivid, poignant, clarifying word picture. A word picture. Your words become a paintbrush to colorize the mental canvas of your hearers. You paint on their mind. And a good illustration will stay with them. How many times, preachers, that people have recanted something, not recanted, but recall something that you said. And what they remembered was not so much the explanation, but they remembered the illustration. You painted. Now let me. I'm not gonna go to Green's point this time. I'm gonna leave him alone. I'm gonna go out here to the woodlands. There's a fella that comes on TV, and he gives all of these. He uses all of these props. Not illustration, but props. He used a lot of props. Y'all may know him, may have saw him. Amen. But a true orator doesn't need props. Doesn't need props. The Lord has given, amen, and every preacher, you ought to be able to talk now. That's what you're called to do. You're called to talk. You ought to be able to talk. God has given you the instrumentation. I'll pick it up.
Thank you, Saul. Thank you, Saul.